You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Let's take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy, and fellows, we'll let you be seated as well. And I thank God for all of you. My goodness, what a great, great church. Thank you for this morning. Buses ran. We've been in 19 nursing homes today and yesterday, today. And I think there were some Bible clubs yesterday. And thank God for all of you. And we're looking forward to Easter, all that God's going to do in just a few weeks. 2 weeks from today is Easter. We're having Sunday morning service at 10:30, like usual. We're having evening service at 6 o'clock. Brother Poussin, I don't care what you say, we're not going to cancel the service on Wednesday, Sunday night. Is that okay with you? Yeah, I know it's okay with you. We're not canceling church on Sunday night because it's Easter, because Christ arose. You know, and we're not going to be watching basketball either. We're going to come to church. So we thank God for that. We've been looking, and we're going to read some scripture in a moment. We've been looking at the marks of a mighty church. We saw in week one, number one, in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, a mighty church has sound doctrine. We're sound on the virgin birth, on the deity of Christ, on the inspiration of the scriptures, the preserved text, the King James Bible. We're convinced on that. Biblical separation, sound in the faith. Then secondly, we saw chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, great churches pray. They pray for their leaders. They pray for authorities. Then we saw that great churches have women in their church, women who are servants of God. And our church is so blessed to have so many great Proverbs 31 ladies. Then we saw, well, we didn't see it, but we should have, deacons and pastors in the church. And I'll maybe get to that one of these days. And then we saw that great churches always have to fight apostasy. Apostasy is a departure from a once held position. These buildings, if Jesus tarries, will one day not preach the gospel. It's hard to believe. I don't believe, Brother Jerry, that has to happen. I believe this thing is generational. We have 200 kids, Brother Fanera, that graduated out of the Christian school that are in the ministry full time. We have 200 adults that are members of this church that have graduated from that Christian school. Now your kids are in that school, or grandkids in that school. And I believe it's going to keep on going when I'm in heaven one day, if the Lord tarries in his coming. Amen. But we don't need apostasy. We saw in chapter 4, verse number 1 through 3, that apostasy will come. Fight against it. Never get rid of this pulpit. Don't get rid of the choir. Don't get rid of the orchestra. Don't get rid of the piano. Don't darken the ceilings. Don't do away with Sunday school. Don't do away with Sunday morning. Don't do away with Sunday night. Don't have a praise group up here. We don't need that, ladies and gentlemen. And then so we saw apostasy. Last week we saw the care of people. And we established last week for the first time in 50 years, and I apologize for doing this, but the Widows Club. And I think, I might be wrong, I think there are 29, I believe, 29 widows in our church. And I'm going to have lunch with you the last Friday of this month. It's going to be a wonderful occasion. Once a month, we'll meet together. But tonight, I'm going to look at a subject that's really... I had the hardest time preaching on this subject when I first came here. I talked, Pat, you would remember Dr. Eli Haru. Dr. Haru was a great man of God. He's been home with the Lord for years. Dr. Haru was one of the founders of the BBF movement back in 1950. Dr. Haru said, I said, you know, I'm having a hard time preaching to my people about this. I don't want them to think I'm a money, hi pastor, how you doing? Money hungry pastor. I don't want them to think I'm after their money all the time. He said, why? You are after their money. Preaching to people about money is not what you're going to get out of them, but what you're going to do for them. Where your treasure is where your heart will be. And so tonight we look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses number 6 through verse number 10. We'll read it together. And tonight is our relationship to money. Let's read verse 6 through 10. Ready? Begin. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Here's tonight how to give. Because your relationship to money always reveals your relationship to God. Let me say that again. Your relationship to money shows your relationship to God. My Bible says that I'm to give as a godly person. Verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. What is it to be godly? It's to be God-like. I am to be God-like. I hope my wife could see me as a godly man. She knows me better than anybody on planet Earth. I hope I'm a godly man. I hope my children, and we have three children, Tiffany, Timothy, Tab, they're all serving God full-time as preachers. And preacher's wives. And I'm just so very thankful for, I hope my kids can see me as a God-like man, a God-fearing man. We have 14 grandkids. I hope my 14 grandkids can see us as a God-like man. Our granddaughter, who's 23, is getting married in August. I hope her husband, Brother Shane, will see me as a godly man. That's what God says our relationship, it is based upon godliness. If you're not godly, you'll not invest in God's work. You Bible college students, learn this tonight. If you're not godly, you will not invest in God's work. It's always going to be an issue. It's always going to be a fight. I'm grateful that God has worked on my wife's heart. God has worked on my heart, that both of us are the same. If this church has a need, we'll write a check. And she wants to give as much as I want to give. It's our number one. It is our largest expenditure every month, every year, is our tithes and offerings. More than the house payment, and I probably have the highest house payment in America for preachers. Don't live in the fanciest house, but it's so costly. But our giving to this church is way beyond my house payment. What? I want that to be priority. Godly giving is spiritual. Godly giving is how God wants you to be. And if you're godly, you're going to say, what opportunity does God have for me today? You're going to say, it's online giving today. You're going to say, it's giving in that church house today. You're going to say, here's what God has done. So how to give? We give godly. Secondly, we give with contentment. Godliness with, what's the word? Look at verse number 8. And having food and raiment, therewithal let us be content. Contentment is I have enough. Paul says it this way, pardon me, in the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 4, he says in verse number 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I'm instructed, I'm full, and I'm hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. For I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul says, I have enough. Not that it require a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Child of God, are you content with what God's given you? Are we always on the stretch to get more? I just have to have more. Have to have more in my retirement account. Have to have more in my, I don't know what number it is now, 401(3), 403(7), it's 40 something, but whatever it is, I have to have more in my portfolio for the future. I have to have more in my stocks, in my bonds, and don't ask me because I have no idea how to buy stocks or bonds. I have to have more real estate, and don't ask me how to do that because I don't know how to do it. I've never done it. I'm just telling you this, that you ought to be content in life. I have enough is what contentment means, enough. I don't need any more. People ask me all the time, Pastor, I want to do something for you. What can I do for you? I don't need anything. God's been so good to me through this church. God showered my wife and I with the blessings of God. You have paid us. I don't need a raise the rest of my time here. Till the day I die, I don't need a raise. I'm doing fine. I'm doing excellent. This church has been good to us. We got our bills paid. We can write a check tonight to the church if we need to. Thank God, and we have enough. That's what God's word says. Enough. Enough. But not only do we give godly, and not only to give with contentment. Look at verse number nine. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction. So we have godliness and we have contentment, but we have destruction. You know, in this room, even on this great Sunday night, this great crowd that's here, we have people that are living to be rich. That's your goal in life. I remember when our church was young, we had two revivals a year, a spring and a fall revival. You would remember that, Brother Jakob and Mrs. Manley and so many others, the Skirties and on it goes. Brother Langston, you'd remember. And you got saved at one of those, I believe, if not mistaken, years ago. But we would have a revival for Sunday through Friday, and Sunday through Friday in the spring and in the fall. Then four times a year, I'd have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday meeting. I'd bring preachers in from all over the country. I brought in a preacher who was a well-known preacher, building a great church, an aggressive church, and he was about 42. And I'll never forget, maybe 44, but I'll never forget, he said to me, it was the last time I had him preach. He said, Brother Jack, I want you to know something, that by the time I'm age 50, I'll be a millionaire. I'll have money, and I'm on the road, I'm on the road, I'm on the road, and it's a well-known, people would know his name, well-known preacher. I never felt led to have him back. By the way, he did turn 50. And I'm sad to say, he was in a hospital ward. He had lost his mind at age 50. They that will be rich fall into snare and temptation of the devil. We had a man years ago in our church, and he said to one of our pastors, he said, I'm saved, and he's doing so great, and he's busy and active. And he said, but now I'm in debt. And I've got this new job, and I'm gonna make an amazing amount of money, but I have to work Sunday for 1 year. And I'm just gonna work for a while. I won't be able to be in church, but I'm gonna be involved in all this, but I can't be in church. A year later, his wife filed for divorce. You cannot live for money. They that will be rich. You young kids, listen to me. Having food and raiment, the Bible says here in this text, having food. You have any food in your stomach? Who's got an empty stomach tonight? Anybody? We have food. So college students raising their hand. You'll go get some pretty soon. Having food and raiment, be content. Don't spend your life being wanting to be rich. They that will be rich. And so godly giving tonight, how to give is we give with godliness, godlike. For God so loved the world that he gave. We give in contentment. I have enough. How can I get more into the work of the ministry? How can I do, Brother Lawman, more for worldwide missions? I think how you have spent all those years in China and they're not allowed to go back in. But I think of our lives are but a vapor. I was with a missionary friend that has permission to go back to China, one of your friends. And you know, he's so excited about getting back into China. Brother Jerry Whitlow, you're in these prisons. You've got a revival in Las Vegas this week, I think, and a prison. And he's in prisons all over America. I was with Terry Ellis preaching, the director of Rock of Ages Ministries. And it's just so proud of what you're doing and how that jails are opening up all these Western United States, especially California. And he can walk in and he can preach. He's got a room of 44 people and 100 people show up. And they move him to outside in the yard. They move him everywhere he can. And he's having souls saved by the scores. And he's got music directors that are prisoners now in those jails. And it goes to this one. And this guy, he's a lifer. And you know who I'm talking about. And you all would know his name. He's a lifer, but he got saved. And he's a music director. And he's in the prison there. And he leaves. And they all listen because they know the notoriety he had for so many years. You have food, your raiment, be content. But notice there's this destruction. Would you notice verse number 9? You're listening so good. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, not money, but the love of it, is the root of all the evil. Let me stop there. Honey, you would remember this. We were dedicating that two-story building, that first 4,000 square foot building. We had a little A-frame building. We tore it down in time. Brother Jakob, I got a picture of you up on that building, 1981, whatever, how many years ago that was, tearing off the roof. That roof was 4.5 inches thick. And we were dedicating that first 4,000 square foot building. We tore that down in time now too. Dr. Cederholm, my college president, was preaching. The old building was always hot. In the winter it was hot. Because the windows on the side, you could open them down like about up high. You could open them down about this far, but it was under the eaves and no air got in at all. Once you got in, you were in. And that building was packed. Dr. Cederholm taught Sunday school. He was long-winded. It was boring. It was long. And he went over. And he went to the 11 o'clock service. And then he went to the 11 o'clock service and those bus kids were outside. They were like wild Comanches. They were ready to go. And they were, that was long. And then we had a 1:30 service to dedicate this building. It was so hot. It was hot. I'm on the platform falling asleep. And he's boring. He was boring. And then he said this. He said, I'll tell you why you don't come to Sunday school and Sunday night and Wednesday night faithful. I'll tell you why. And he said it. I about crawled under the bench when he said it. He said, because you love money. And I thought, Dr. Cederholm, what are you talking about? And then he quoted this verse. The love of money is the root of all evil. Yeah. He was right. That verse changed my life on that day when a boring, and then he preached Sunday night and he went forever. He's with the Lord now, I can say this, and maybe God's not letting him watch right now. I'm not sure. Oh, it was so long and it was so boring and it was so on and on, but it's true. The love of money is the root of all evil, which the Bible says, which some have, here it is, coveted, have erred from the faith. You know, when you begin to, number four, covet, you desire more. Not that you want to be content, I have enough, but you desire more. I've got to have more things. What's people talk about, I don't believe in a bucket list, but people talk about a bucket list. What's on your bucket list? To leave $500,000 to your family? To leave $1,000,000 to your family? Is that on your bucket list? God's word says, lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust doth break through and thieves break through and steal and destroy, but lay up treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart be also. I recall in 1978, a man was coming to our church. He and his wife are both with the Lord now. He was a faithful man. He was a businessman. He was about 20 years older than I, just as sharp as could be. And I was preaching, and he came forward on a Sunday morning. I'd always come down here, and I would listen to people, and I'd shake their hand and talk to them. I stopped that, literally, when a beautiful lady came down the aisle, and I have a hard time hearing now, so I turned my ear, and she planted a big old kiss on my right cheek at the invitation. I couldn't believe she did that. I mean, I'm down here, and she's coming forward, and I turn, and she kissed me on the cheek. So, fellas, I did the biblical thing. I turned the other cheek also. I slept outside for 3 nights after that. You remember who that lady was? I have no idea. She's probably as ugly as can be, but she was pretty at the time. He said to me at that altar, he says, Pastor, I come for 2 weeks, I get right with God, and then I'm gone for 3 weeks, and I'm back for two, and then I'm gone for one, and then I'm back. He goes, I'm just so inconsistent. And I could call his name right now, I won't. I said, you know what your problem is? He said, help me, tell me. I said, you don't tithe. He bowed up. He said, I didn't think you looked at the records. I said, I did not, but apparently I hit something right there because you bowed up. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be. And I said, if you'd learn to tithe, and by the way, I think he did learn to tithe, he became so faithful. But when you don't tithe, you don't go check. I don't even know how to read the stock market. I don't know how to read Wall Street Journal because I have no money there. Now, a few times when they used to have newspapers, I'd pick one up and I'd sit on an airplane and I'd be looking at it like I'm reading the stock market. But if anybody asked me a question, I would not have anything idea how to answer them. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This church learned stewardship early. I think of how it says we bought this building 1977, this week in this week's history. I had just sold $140,000 in bonds. $250,000, $500,000. $750 and $1,000 bonds. $140,000 to secure that building and build that two-story building. We had no money. And I was here on a Saturday about 5 o'clock in the afternoon and a realtor came in the auditorium. That's all we had, just the auditorium. And she came in, I said, ma'am, what are you doing here with these people? She goes, I'm showing them the property. You're selling it. I said, we're not selling it. And she said, well, Dr. Sands up there at First Baptist Church is selling it. I said, don't show them. They're not going to buy it. We're going to buy it. I got on the phone immediately. I said, Dr. Sands, these people are here. He goes, well, we're selling the building. He, the First Baptist Church, and Congressman Don Edwards owned the building. I said, you can't buy it. We're going to buy it. He goes, I'll meet you at First Street. At that International House of Pancakes, it's torn down now. Across the street from that gambling casino now. He said, I'll meet you right there for breakfast Monday morning. And I was bothered. I said, sir, we're gonna buy this building. He said, I'll give you 30 days. You got to come up with $30,000, $1,000. Brother Manley, I just fleeced the people for all this money, $140,000. We just had a handful of people. And I remember every day I said, folks, for 30 days, we got to get $1,000 in. And every day, Brother Chung, God gave us $1,000. We secured that property. It's all debt-free over there. 66,000 square foot building. Beautiful building, Brother Fanera. You were not embellishing anything tonight when you said that. I remember we had the bonds. And then we had just sacrifice. Oh, a sacrifice. And then I remember we had January 25th, 1981, Rise Up and Build campaign. And then we had a turnkey project banquet. And then we had Giving by Faith 1, Giving by Faith 2, Giving by Faith 3, Giving by Faith 4, because I couldn't come up with a program. I said, I don't know what we're raising money for, folks, but every 6 months we raise money for a building. And so we're just going 1, 2, 3, 4. And we did all four of those. And then I think about how that we established in December of 1977, the Gideon's account. Well, many of you gave to the Gideon's account today. And then we've always had $1, $5, $10, $20. We've done this so many times in the history of our church. And always in the month of January, for 20 years, I had stewardship month for 4 or 5 Sundays. And I preached on stewardship every Sunday morning. Because I believe in getting people to give, I'm getting people to invest in the work of God. That which is eternal. Those souls in China and in Vietnam and Cambodia and Laos and the Philippines, those are souls for eternity. The 400 churches you started and paid the pastor's salary for a year and built them a building in the Philippines, those churches are going on for God today. Just think that most of them are back in villages. If every one of those 400 had 100 in church today, some have more than that. Just think how many we had in church. I know every Sunday there are 36 men that sat right here next to me, the men that are out pastoring churches, and we had about 12 to 15,000 in churches all across America from men that sat right here and learned from this church. But they all learned stewardship. Every single one learned stewardship, and they learned it at this church. Why? Because stewardship is the answer in our life. We get stewardship wrong, we get everything else wrong. And so our church has been raising money and raising money and raising money. When will it be done? Never. Even when I'm laid to rest, I'm in a casket down here. I'm gonna have 4 offering plates in my casket. I already told them. I'm having the bus ministry. I'm having the building account. I've got them all planned out. I've got 4 of them there. We're gonna have 4 offering plates, and I want those offering plates filled. Overflowing. Child of God, stewardship's the answer of a mark of a mighty church. Where your treasure is, where your heart will be. Christmas Evans was a great old preacher. Christmas Evans was a rough old drunk, but he got saved. And in getting saved, his old barroom buddies began to take advantage and beat him up. He was a big, big, heavy man, big guy. One night they're making fun of Christmas Evans. He was a preacher of the gospel. And they put his eye out, literally took his eye out of his socket. Christmas Evans was a great, great preacher. He was preaching to his church in Wales, and he was a great, mighty man of God about giving. After the service, a woman of well means, she had money. She came up and she said, "Well, I understand we're not paying you your salary, are we?" She goes, No, you're not." He said, "My church always was not generous to me at all. This church has always been so generous to all of us on staff." And she said, "Well," and she had so much money she could have made a salary up. She said, "In the resurrection." And he stopped her. He said, "You know, my horse is not going to be in the resurrection. And my horse needs some food tonight. But my horse doesn't have food because I don't have any money to feed him, because you and this church has not paid me. And he said, dear lady, I want to ask you a question. In the resurrection, how will you stand before God with your stewardship? When you wouldn't even pay your preacher a salary to live. And tonight I ask you, God's people, how's your stewardship? I'm old fashioned. I use a checkbook. Our Sunday school class, I think there's only two checkbooks in our class. Young couples, nobody uses a checkbook, but I use a checkbook. I don't know how in the world you keep track of your finances without a checkbook. Every good Christian has a checkbook. Right? But I'm one of the only ones left in our class. But I'll go get my checkbook tonight. I know right where it's at. And of 15, 20 lines, I'll guarantee it, the deacons know because they count the offering. It says NVBC, NVBC, NVBC. Because we're involved with everything at NVBC. Or it says NVBS, North Valley Baptist Schools. Or it says GSBC, Golden State Baptist College. Tonight I'm not expecting a whole crowd of people to come forward necessarily. I'm done. But I'm expecting God's people to implement giving in your life. Jesus, in Acts 26, it said, it is more blessed, as the Lord's words of our Lord, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I love Christmas. And I don't love the gifts. They're okay, but I don't need the gifts. I tell you what, I love giving. I love seeing the smile on children's faces. I love seeing the smile on the rest home people's faces. I love investing in people. And that's what God says. I'm just going to ask you tonight to go home in this week, look at your, what you don't have, your checkbook, ledger, or whatever you have. What's your account say?
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.